Everybody, happy Sabbath. God is good.
All the time.
God is good. Amen. Just like to praise the Lord for being here this morning. I'm back in my home church at Concord. It's always a blessing to come back home to preach the word. And this is my spiritual home. I walked through these doors some 8 years ago, seven, almost eight, with my friend. And little did I know the journey that I'll be on. And I have many people to thank in this church. But I give God all the glory because God is to be praised every day. Amen? I didn't want to take away from the specialty of today's service because it is a program for our young adventurers. And when I watch these adventurers and, you know, seeing my little nephew play the piano, it really touched me, you know, and it just really opened my eyes of what God is doing in this church. To see little Kingston is so cool. I always get emotional, so forgive me. So I was preparing a message for this morning, but I'm hoping that it will connect with our program for our young people, especially our adventurers. You know, my family and I, my brother and I, Liara, when we came into this church, we were not Seventh-day Adventists. So we didn't have the privilege of wearing these cool uniforms and getting involved in camps and things. And it's so good to see that the next generation can grow up with these memories and that they can look back on their childhood experiences of church as a time of joy and a time of blessing. So, Kingston, are you listening to your uncle preach? And sit up straight. Because one day you're going to be my age and you're going to have kids, hopefully. And you'll be telling your little kids about what your uncle and your dad used to teach you, right? So enough of that. I just got a little announcement before I begin. Some of you may have been to AYC, Adventist Youth for Christ. It's actually in a matter of a few weeks away. It's actually in February, so beginning of February, 2nd to the 5th. So you may have seen people talking about it on Facebook, or you may have seen, got received emails, but we're going to give these brochures out today for young people who want to get involved in soul winning, get involved in networking with a large Adventist from all around Australia who believe the message of this church, who believe in what we stand for and going out there and winning souls. If you haven't been to an AYC, and I know some of you have here this morning, I really encourage the young people to go because it is a life-changing event. It's changed my life to be a part of a youth. And one thing I'd like to stress from those who are behind the scenes is that this is not just a conference. It's actually a movement of young people that are involved and interested in doing the work. And just in unison with our world president, Ted Wilson, and that's the battle cry he's been sounding throughout this world church, is a call for a revival and a reformation in our church. And a call for young people to step up and to do the work of God in these last days. So after the service, if you see me, I'll hand these out, or you can see Rose, and we'd be happy to give you a brochure. So the way to do it is there's a website. Please go there and check it out. It's at the University of New South Wales in Kensington. We're estimating about 500 youth. You sign up for a workshop. You meet different youth who are involved and have the same interests. I guarantee that you'll have a great time. So I'll just leave it at that. So, well, it's 11:49. And if our dear old Saint Edgar was here, he'd be sitting here in the second, third row with his watch. Because all sermons need to finish by 12. Well, I'll see how I go. But I'll be very short. It's not a long sermon. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, your word says that when we ask in the name of Jesus, that you will hear and answer our prayer. So I pray this morning that as I speak for you, that you would hide me behind the cross, and that this message may be beneficial for every person in this church. May we walk away from this experience drawn closer to you, and may your Spirit be our teacher and our guide, our counselor. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, some of you may not know, but in July I had the privilege of going overseas. And it's actually a great experience. We actually, a group of us from Avondale, we went to on a Bible Lands tour. And we had the privilege of going to some Bible sites. And that picture you see behind me, I'm actually standing in Jerusalem. I mean, I never thought I'd be in Jerusalem, seriously. And you see a picture of me, and behind me is the remains of a historic building that once stood in the days of Jesus. In fact, those stones are still there to this day. And you all may know this. It's actually the remains of the western wall of the temple, which once stood the temple where Jesus used to go and worship, where the disciples would go and worship. And this place holds a lot of meaning for Jews today, and particularly Christians as well. You may not see it, but I've actually got the skull cap. And it was such a blessed experience. But what made it so interesting this morning, sorry, I don't have time to change that. But we went 2 days during the week in Jerusalem. They have a very special ceremony on the Western Wall, and they have the dedication of the young Hebrew boys, or what they call the Bar Mitzvah. So we were up early at 9 o'clock in the morning, and we went to the Western Wall, and all around us we would see young Hebrew boys who had just turned 13, and it was like a passage rite where they would be now officially be able to read from the Hebrew Scriptures, or the Torah. And it was such an amazing experience because everywhere you look, there were throngs of young Hebrew boys all with their families. And it was a joyous celebration. I wish I could show you the video. But it was such a noisy atmosphere. I mean, you had people with the trumpet horns and they were blowing those things. They had people with the drums and they were beating it kind of like the way the Middle Eastern people beat those drums. And it was just pandemonium. It was actually a bit of a shock to me, actually, because I had this idea of this solemn, you know, scene at the wall, but it was a celebration. And the picture you see is two young boys, and they're holding one of the books of the first books of the Bible, of the Torah, Genesis, Exodus, one of those books. And, you know, what really inspired me was that it was a family event. And there were uncles, there were aunties, the whole family would gather around and celebrate that this young boy would now enter into manhood. And we, on our tour, we walked around and I kind of was a bit of a sticky beak. I would walk right up to these people who were having these ceremonies and just put my camera in front of them and take pictures. I also had the opportunity to actually go to the wall and write my own prayers, you know, like I was standing next to these, you know, Orthodox Jews, and what they would do is they would write their prayers on a piece of paper and they'd stick them in the wall, and you know, I actually just went up and I said, "Can I have your pen?" And he's like, "What?" And got his pen and I wrote down some prayers, personal prayers, prayers for the church, prayers for my family, and prayers, you know, just for God's blessing and prayers for God's people, you know, the Jewish people who still to this day are still struggling with their identity and struggling with making sense of prophecy and particularly the Messiah. And so that was a blessed experience for me. But the reason I share this with you is because I want to go back to the picture of these young boys. It's almost considered almost 100% of these young Jews, these young men, these young teenagers would go through this experience. But I would almost like to ask a question. Of all these young Jews, and by the way, these are not just Jews from Jerusalem. You have Jews from all over the world that come to Jerusalem just for this experience. You have Jews from America, Australia, wherever, like all around the world that would come to Jerusalem. But I'd like to, I was almost thinking this in the back of my mind as I was watching this procession happen. How many of these young Jewish boys would still be faithful in church, who'd still be attending the synagogue, who'd still be faithful to God in their later years? Does this ceremony equate to being saved or to equate to being a holy person? And what does this mean for their future as a young man of God or of Yahweh? Now, when I was standing here in Jerusalem, my mind was brought back to the scriptures where it tells the story of Jesus when he was overlooking the temple. And as he looked over the temple, it was a different scene to what was experienced with our group this morning. There wasn't cheers of joy and shouts of celebration. Well, not in the mind of Jesus anyway. As Jesus looked out into the scene of the temple, and Ellen White says it was the pride of the Jewish nation. When Jesus looked at the temple, he had a different feeling. He had feelings of depression. He had feelings of anxiety and causing him so much emotional pain that he literally broke down and wept. And you've all read the story, right? And Jesus begins to weep over the city. And he seems to cry in anguish because he realizes that just a few years in the distant, that this place would be surrounded by Roman armies and it will be literally destroyed, in so much that there will be not one stone left upon another. And it was this cry of Jesus' heart that led him to shed those tears. Because Jesus saw that his favored people would ultimately deny him. But I'd like to suggest to you this morning that when Jesus looked to that temple and he foresaw the people who would ultimately deny him, he would be looking down to our day and age as well. Jesus would be looking down right down to our day and age, and he would see that in the world there'll be people in our world who will turn their backs on Jesus. Jesus would have a heart full of compassion that when he looked at this world, a world that is full of crime and hopelessness and anger and anxiety, that the remedy is there for them, right in front of them. And yet they refuse to take hold of that and ultimately be lost for eternity. And so I just wanted to share a short message this morning. And my sermon title is The Naked Truth. And I want to just share one very important point, just one point that I'm hoping that our young adventurers can listen to and digest, and also to our members and our visitors here today. If you have your Bible, we're just turning to one story. It's found in the book of John, John chapter 6. And we are introduced here in the narrative to a series of events that lead to a particular dialogue that Jesus has with his disciples. In John chapter 6, and we're reading from verse 51 to 55. So John chapter 6, 51-55. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said to them, verily, verily, I say to you, except you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. So here we have Jesus has just made a very bold statement and a call for commitment. We have just read that Jesus makes makes a dividing line between those who are his and those who are not. He basically says, if you want to be mine, you must eat my flesh and drink my blood. But the people of his day misunderstood what he was talking about. And so there was a bit of division, and there was some people who found this a hard saying, as the Bible says. But I just want to backtrack a couple of stories before that leads to this moment. You know, Jesus in John chapter 6 has just fed the 5,000, right? There was a miraculous miracle. There was fish that was coming down from heaven. 5,000 people were fed. And then in the midst of this, there was conversation who this Jesus was. Some said he was just a carpenter. He's just Joseph's son. We know his family. We know where he's from. But others said he was the son of David. And so there was contention among the group. And then he gets into an altercation with the Jews of his day. And then Jesus begins to tell them that just as Moses rained down bread from heaven, I am the living bread. And so in the context of these two stories, this is where Jesus says that I am the living bread. I am the bread from heaven. I am the one that has come down to give you life. And here's my point of the sermon. As they were deciding whether to accept what he was saying or not, the Bible goes down in verse 65, it said, and he said, therefore said I to you that no man can come to me except it were given to him of my Father. Now notice what verse 66 says. From that time, many of his disciples went back, and what does the rest of your Bible say? What does the rest of your Bible say? They walked no more with him. From that time, the Bible says that many people, many disciples, in other words, many people like this young Jew boy, he had his, you know, he had his ceremony and he was taught the message of God. But when it came to the point where he had to accept Jesus Christ, the Bible says that many disciples went away and they walked no more with him. My point of my short message today is very simple. There is a truth that needs to be told today. And the truth is this, that there will be people in our church that look like you, dress like you, quote scripture like you, but in the end times, they will walk away and they won't be following Jesus anymore. There'll be many adventurers, and there'll be some adventurers. They're going to have their sachets on. They're going to be quoting the law and the pledge. And you know what? Some of them are not in church right now. They were out last night at the cross or in the city, and they were getting drunk and they were dealing drugs and that, and they are no longer walking with Jesus. The Bible is very clear. And Jesus says that if we are to accept him, there is something we need to do. Now, please, I don't want to be the bad person to bring bad news, but this is a real fact. That many Islander youth, and I speak from experience in another Christian church, not Adventist, but many young people, when they get to 16, they don't go to church anymore. They're out the back door. You know how many times before I was an Adventist that I meet a lot of boys, and I say, well, what religion are you? They say Seventh-day Adventist. And I didn't even know what an Adventist was at that time. In fact, I'll tell the story again. When me and my friend from Burwood, we were drinking one day at George Street, and a little topic about religion came up. And then one guy got so angry in the circle, slammed his schooner on the table, and he said, don't talk about religion because you guys don't know anything. My church is the true church. I mean, listen to this guy. He's sitting in there at Charlie Chan's at 1:30 in the morning telling me that he goes to the true church. And little did I know that, yeah, he was an Adventist. He grew up in adventurers. He grew up reciting his memory verse. Just like in Jesus' day, the call is going out today. Jesus is calling people to himself. And why did I call it the naked truth? The naked truth is this. When Jesus, who is the truth, is standing in front of you, and he's calling you for a commitment. You can't back away. You can't say, well, let me get my brother or let me get my father. You have to stand for yourself and you have to make that choice whether you will accept him or not. Am I right? And I pray for my little venture brothers and sisters that, you know, that you get trained here and you grow up and you don't leave the church. You don't have to stand up and share a testimony and get rebaptized saying that, you know, you dealt with the world and now you're back. Because the greater testimony is about a young person who stays in church and they never leave. Daniel the prophet, he wasn't a clubber, he was a Sabbath schooler. He never left church. He stayed in school. He stayed and he was loyal to the scriptures and God blessed him with the greatest prophecies that we now read today. Same thing with young Timothy. You may call him a pansy, you may call him a mama's boy. He was raised up by his mother and his grandmother, but you know what? When the Apostle Paul saw him, he said, that's the young man that I need to work with me. The naked truth. The naked truth is that we all need Jesus. The naked truth is that you cannot hide when Jesus is staring right in your eyes. Because when you say, I'll talk about, I'll decide tomorrow, you've already made your choice. You know, the last couple of weeks, I've been sharing with my brother. School just finished, end of November. College just broke up. Exams were over, thank the Lord. And I'm working at the fish markets, where my dad used to work, at Glebe. And it's a very busy time, Christmas. And so he's getting us to work, and, you know, I have a problem with my leg because I rolled my ankle playing ball last year, and I always limp when I'm standing for too long, and work is hard. I mean, one day I work with my dad, and like, I just said to him in the car one morning, I said, I don't know how you do it, Dad. Like, I don't know, you work every day, like, I'm struggling, it's like 2 weeks. And I even worked with Dom one day, like, I don't want to work with him again. You know? Even Gia's dad, he's like old school, like, man. Like, I had a break for like, after 3 hours, I just thought I'd just have a rest while he was on the mobile. He turned around and goes, what are you doing? Standing there. Do something. So to all those of you who work an honest job, and you come and you enjoy your Sabbath, I really congratulate what you guys are doing. Anyway, we're working, right? And our manager, Tan, goes to me. He goes, look, we even knew this last year, me and Josh, because we worked, for 10 o'clock in the morning all the way till the next day, to the afternoon. It was hectic. But it was good because Christmas Eve was Thursday and went all the way to Friday. So it coincided with our Sabbath. And we were saying jokingly, you know, next year it's going to be hard because they're going to call us and Christmas Eve is Sabbath, right? So he's already telling us, oh, William, we know that we know you go to church, but just one day, his Chinese accent, one day, God will be okay with you, one day. And the money's good, I'll be honest. And some of them didn't know that I was studying theology, you know, they thought I was just there, and this is the honest truth. One guy, has a dirty mouth, like every second word is just, you know, I forgot what it's like to be in that environment, you know, with those type of people. He's just doing his thing. Everything's a joke, you know, everything's just. And then we're shoveling ice one afternoon just this week, and then he pulls me up and he just looks me dead straight in the eyes, and he's always funny and joking, and he looked me straight in the eye and he goes, William, I know now. Why? I'm like, why? He didn't realize, like, I was a Christian, you know, like I was studying and things. And he says, you know why? Because I myself was studying to be a minister. Anglican guy. Vietnamese. You look at him, you would think he's far from studying theology. He's got that mohawk happening and tats head to toe. And you look at him and he's like, I wanted to be a minister too. And I looked at him, really? He goes, yeah, but you know what? I just walked away from God. That's what he said to me. He said, I walked away. I said, why did you walk away? And he goes, you know why? Because it's too tough. You can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this. Kind of like our Sabbath school. And I said to him, man, it's not tough. Your heart's not in the right place. And I walked off because I knew I shouldn't have said that, but it just came out. And so now at the markets, I'm called Father. Because they all think I'm studying to be a priest, I'm going to wear the thing, I'm not going to get married, and they just have this total conception of Christianity. That's what everyone does if you're a young guy studying to be a pastor. They just think, oh, automatically priest, convent, monastery, locked up, no life. And I think my brother, he doesn't realize this, but to be honest, I know deep in my heart I'm not working that day, because Tan pulled me over 2 days and really, really put it on me to work. And I just said, look, no, it's just, the words, I'll be very honest, the words couldn't come out, because I'm afraid to let someone down. But I was just like, yeah, I'm hear what you're saying, but I was like that. The second after that, he asked for my dad's mobile number, and then he asked for Josh's number, and Josh, I know Josh is different, he'll tell him. So Josh is telling me how Tan rings my brother up. With, trying to chat him up. Hey, what are you doing? Yeah. Got to the end of the line. You guys got to work. And then Josh, thank the Lord, he told him for me, like, so you know what William's problem is? I was, Tan's going, what? He goes, he can't tell you no to your face. It's too nice to tell you. So he's going, yeah, but you know what? Saturday, he's not there. So Tan, and yeah, this is the truth. Josh, you were telling me the other day, And Josh said to him, he goes, Tan, you can give us $1 million. We're not going to work that day. It's not about the money. And I think Josh was just giving it to him, like, and I think the Lord was just giving him answers. And I could see it, because I'm shoving ice, this 3:30, pack up. We're all hectic pace. I turn around, like, Tan was like this. Next thing, he's just standing, like, kneeling. You know how Asians kneel? And he's talking, and I can see no response from him. And you know what happened? He had no answer. Because when you try and explain something to someone about your call to God, your call to ministry, why you're a Christian, like what Dominic was saying in Sabbath school, it's foolishness to them. Why are you trying to take a day off on the busiest day of the year? And so now, after that phone call, I think Tan knows now I'm not working, so. But you know, when I think about that experience, I think that all of us are going to go through that experience, right? Particularly Adventists. When we talk about end times, we talk about this beast power, you can't buy or sell, like. There's going to come times when your Christianity is really going to be, it's going to be up there, and you've got to really decide for yourself. Like, sure, mum can teach you all those things. Mum and dad can raise you. But for young people, it's going to come a point where you have to say, "This, I'm going to say no. I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to do that." Because we live in a world of convenience. Like, we like to get everything quick. We like to get our emails quicker on broadband. We like, everything needs to be fast. Fast food, fast this. Everything has to be fast. And has to be convenient. But the thing I was thinking this morning, or this week, is when you think about the gospel, when you really think about it, it's very inconvenient to the world. Who wants to hire someone that doesn't want to work Friday night, they don't want to work all of Saturday, they just want to work, come on Sunday? Who wants to hire someone that, with all these things in their life, like, they're just not like everyone else? And if you're in your school system, you're with your friends and they're listening to this and they're eating that, and you just don't want to eat that. And so everything you do, it seems to be contradicting what everything's around you. So it seems to be like there's some sort of inconvenience of being a Christian. Do you know what I'm saying? But when I think about it, what did Jesus have to do to save us? Was that convenient for him? Was it convenient for Jesus to suffer the way he did? When we think about what we have to give up, so-called give up for God, think about what Jesus gave up. I mean, we went to Gethsemane, and there's all tradition over these sites. I'm not saying it's true, but just the biblical account of Gethsemane and the way Jesus dropped sweats of blood for us. I mean, do you think that was tough for him? mean, I think Jesus gave up much more than we will ever know. And so to give up a little few hours just to earn some money, selling fish, like, that's nothing, you know. If my friends call me to go out and do whatever they do during the week and carry on with their jokes, do I have to conform to that? No. Because I now know who I am. I know that I've given my life to Jesus. And part of that is taking up our cross, right? I want to end on this text, on Luke 14. You know, part of being a Christian is something that we need to do. And I just want to end on this note before we close, right? Luke 14, and we're reading from verse 27. Luke 14, 27, the Bible says, Jesus says, "Whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Does that sound plain and clear from Jesus? Does that sound plain and clear? Yes or no? Sounds pretty clear. And notice what he says. "For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counts the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it? Lest happily after he had laid his foundations, not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.'" You know, the truth is this morning that we all need Jesus. Am I right? Following Jesus means taking up our cross. If that means giving up a day of work, that's your cross to bear. If that means leaving a gang of boys that you used to roll with, you got to give that up. If that means that you listen to things that you know you shouldn't listen to, you got to give that up. But not you have to, but because if you look at what Jesus done for you, he took up your cross. Because Jesus didn't die for his own sins. Jesus died for you and I. And that's the God that we serve. So what's the naked truth this morning? The naked truth is this. All of us need to decide for ourselves if we're going to take up that cross. If we're going to follow Jesus. Not just when it's convenient, like the people in John 6. Not just because we're seeing the miracles. Not just because fish is falling from the sky. But we want to follow Jesus because he's our Lord and Savior. And like Peter said, "To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." That's why we follow Jesus, because he is the one that gives us eternal life. Amen. I invite you to bow your heads. Our loving Father, we thank you so much for the awesome God you are. We thank you so much for saving sinners just like us. We thank you, Lord, that you've called us to take up our cross. And we pray, Lord, that by your grace we can take up that cross, follow you, because you are the author and the finisher of our faith. So thank you, dear Father, for hearing our prayer. Please bless us and bless our, especially our young adventurers and our pathfinders today. May they be young men and women for you. And please bless our church congregation. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.